our scripture reading, we turn in the holy and inspired word of God to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. The Word of God in Proverbs chapter 30. The words of Agur, the son of Jakeh, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ukal, surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee, and thou be found guilty. There is a generation that curseth their father, and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. The horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things say not, it is enough. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat, for an odious woman when she is married, and an handmaid that is heir to her mistress. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people that not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. There be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. A lion which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any. A greyhound, and he-goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. We read the Word of God that far tonight. The text for our sermon is the second half of verse 8 and all of verse 9. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the words of Proverbs chapter 30 were written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by the man of God, Agur, the son of Jakeh. We know nothing about who Agur was. It's possible that he was a godly, wise man who lived at the same time as Solomon, and that the words which he wrote here under the inspiration of the Spirit were collected together with the inspired Proverbs of Solomon into the book of Proverbs. In the end, though, it's not important who Agur was, because the words that he writes are not in the end his own words, but are the words of God. What Agur writes in our text under the inspiration of the Spirit is an expression in prayer of the two outstanding needs of the people of God in this life. The two needs that are expressed in the prayer of Agur correspond to the two aspects of our being. On the one hand, we are earthly and physical, made with a body out of the dust of the ground. And on the other hand, there's a spiritual dimension to who we are. We have a soul. The two aspects of Agur's prayer express the two outstanding needs of us, God's people, who have both a body and a soul. First, Agur prays, Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. That petition expresses our great spiritual need as God's people. Spiritually, we need to be delivered from vanity, the emptiness of idolatry, and from lies, from every falsehood and false teaching. Then what follows in the second petition is the expression of our need from a physical, earthly point of view. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. It's important that in considering this word of God, we consider the right perspective that we're to have with respect to earthly and material things. That's fitting at this time of year. Just this past week, we've observed Prayer Day, a day on which we gather together to pray to God to supply to us our earthly and material needs. Stand at the beginning of the planting and the growing season. Very soon, according to the will of God, the farmers will go out into the field, will plant the seed, will cultivate and fertilize and care for them. Pray that God supplies the growth. Not all of us have our living directly tied to the earth. But for all of us, in one degree or another, we're concerned about earthly things. Tax day approaches, and we give some consideration to financial and material things and financial and material needs. This is fitting for the Church of Christ at all times, not at this one specific time of year. always the danger for the church living in the midst of this world is that she become consumed and overwhelmed with worldliness. So does the world press in upon the church, tempting her with all kinds of worldly-minded thinking and crass materialism and love for and seeking after earthly things. Always the church needs to be warned against worldliness and materialism. We have that instruction here in the prayer of Agur. This prayer teaches us what we are to pray to God for, and it also teaches us what is to be the right attitude and perspective that we take toward earthly things. Let's consider the text under the theme, neither poverty nor riches. First of all, consider the request, secondly, the concern, and then thirdly, the trust. The petition that Agur makes and that we as God's people make here has both a positive and a negative side to it. First of all, the positive petition is found at the end of verse 8. Feed me with food convenient for me. Our positive request to God is, feed us with food convenient. The word food here is the translation of the word bread. We're praying that God would feed us with bread. And bread in the Bible represents all of our basic earthly needs. The basic need that we have of food and drink to sustain the life and health of our body. The basic necessity of shelter and of clothing. Doesn't refer to the luxuries of life, but to the basic necessities and staples. We pray to God here for bread convenient for us. When we hear the word convenient, our minds immediately start to think of the niceties, the luxuries, the conveniences of earthly life, all of those things that maybe aren't so necessary, but that make our life in this world, from an earthly point of view, so much easier. That's not what the text is teaching. The word that the King James Version translates as convenient literally means the bread of our necessity, our portion, our allowance. It's referring to those earthly things that we stand in need of. Give to us, Father, our earthly needs. Those needs may differ in varying degrees to different of God's people based on the circumstances God has ordained. The need of a single for earthly and physical things is very likely different from the needs of a married couple with many children in their home, which needs are different from the elderly couple whose children are all grown up and moved out of the house. Remember that in the wilderness, when God sent manna to feed his people, the people were to go out and get that which they needed for their home. Whether there were just a few or there were many in their home, bread sufficient for their home to the degree that they needed it for that day. In essence, what we're taught to pray here is the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus in the New Testament teaching us to pray that fourth petition is essentially the equivalent of this prayer of Agur in the Old Testament. Feed us with the bread of our necessity, Father, give us this day our daily bread. That's the prayer of the believing farmer. At the beginning of the planting and the growing season, Father, Feed me with food convenient. Give to me the bread of my necessity. That's the prayer of the Christian working man as he goes off to his calling from day to day. That's the call. That's the prayer of every child of God. Feed me with the bread of my necessity. That petition implies two important spiritual truths about earthly life. First truth that's implied there is the reality of the weakness and the frailty of who we are. We are made of the dust. We're quickly returning to the dust. And our earthly life is so frail. We have not the ability and the strength to preserve ourselves and to preserve our own life in this world. We're dependent upon earthly things to sustain our life and our health. We need food and drink or we die. We need shelter and clothing or we perish under the elements. This petition arises out of a knowledge of our own weakness and frailty and our dependence upon the things of this earth. But then the second truth that's implied in this petition is that we are wholly dependent upon God to provide for us. Our dependence is not ultimately upon the creation and the things of the creation, but like the whole of the creation and all of the creatures, we are dependent upon the Creator. All things belong to God the Creator. You and I ultimately own nothing. All belongs to Him who made all in the beginning. And God not only is the creator, He's the provider. God is the one who from moment to moment in His providence preserves and directs everything that takes place in the creation. He is the one that sovereignly, eternally, wisely has determined the distribution of earthly things to each of His creatures. We, with every other creature, are dependent upon the Creator to open His hand wide and to supply to us our earthly material needs. Positively, we pray to God, feed me with the bread of my necessity. There's also a negative aspect to that petition that we make. The positive is, give us this day our daily bread. The negative is found right before that in verse 8. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Understanding that aspect of this petition drives home to us what an instructive and a striking request this is. On the one hand, we're taught to pray that God would not give to us poverty. And that's not so surprising or so striking that we would pray that God would not give to us poverty. But understand what is meant in the Word of God by poverty. Poverty, according to the Word of God, does not mean merely that our income falls below a certain income level. Poverty does not mean that we have only a few thousand dollars to our name, and that rather than going on vacation to Florida each year, we have to go camping, and that we rent a home rather than being able to buy a home. That's not poverty according to the Word of God. Strictly defined according to the Word of God, poverty means we don't have what we need for this day. We do not have in this day what's necessary to sustain earthly life and earthly health. True poverty is when we and our children have nothing to eat at the supper table, and the children are sent off to bed holding their stomachs in pain because of the pangs of hunger. True poverty is having rags to cover one's body, having the barest of shelters to try and protect oneself from the elements, having no money whatsoever to one's name to provide even the basics of earthly life. It's safe to say, in our country, with the high standard of living that we presently enjoy, that very few of us understand something of that kind of poverty. The crushing reality of poverty and not having even enough for this one day. It makes sense to us that we would pray this petition. It makes sense to us that in praying, feed us with the bread of our necessity, we would be taught to pray, Father, do not give to us poverty. Which one of us would desire to be in such crushing circumstances under the heavy weight of that kind of poverty? We can understand, and perhaps we pray, feed me with the bread of my necessity, Father, do not give to me poverty. That aspect of the petition, we said, is not so striking. What is striking is the opposite. We're taught to pray, give me neither poverty nor riches. It's not left only at the petition, don't give me poverty, but also we are taught to pray, Father, do not give riches. And again, understand that according to the Word of God, riches does not mean one who's in the highest tax bracket. Someone that has a multi-million dollar business who's able to build an enormous, beautiful home for himself, who's able to fly off to warmer weather every year on vacation. It's not just that man who's wealthy. According to the Word of God, riches means that one has more than enough for just this one day. We have more than enough than is necessary to preserve health and strength for this one day. The man is wealthy who has a week's worth of groceries in the pantry and the fridge, who has a warm home in which to live, multiple changes of clothing, a reliable vehicle to drive around throughout the week, who's able from time to time even to go out to eat to a restaurant, and from time to time able to take a break from work and have a vacation. That man is wealthy. And we're to pray, Father, feed me with the bread of my necessity. Do not give me poverty, and do not give me riches. Is that not a striking request? How often do we pray that? When was the last time that you and I folded our hands and closed our eyes and we prayed to God, Father, do not give me riches? If you and I are honest, we'll admit that rarely, if ever, has that petition been found on our lips. We pray, perhaps often, don't give me poverty. But we're hard-pressed to force out the words, and Father, don't give me riches either. Because so often our attitude is that of the world around us. Those who are poor want to be rich. Those who are rich want to be even richer. So easily we have our heart set upon this earth and the things of this earth and accumulating to ourselves more and more of these earthly things. We think riches means comfort, it means security for the future, happiness in earthly life. We chase riches in order to be something and to be someone. We imbibe the lie of the world that if we're not chasing and pursuing riches and if our life isn't characterized by riches, well, then we're lazy or we're not motivated and we don't have any conviction. It's not easy for us to pray the words of this petition. To pray the words of this petition honestly means that in our hearts are not set on this world and the things of this world. But that is and must be our prayer. That is the prayer of the Christian farmer at this time of year. His petition is not, Lord, give me a bumper crop, give me the best yields that we've ever had before in the corn and the beans. The prayer of the Christian working man is not, Lord, prosper all of my investments so that they all flourish and I'm sitting on thousands and millions of dollars. The prayer of the Christian working man is not, Lord, make my business to be so prosperous so that I'm raking in the money hand over fist. The prayer of the Christian working man is not a big raise in this coming year. Father, feed me with the bread of my necessity. Father, do not give me poverty nor riches. The petition in itself is a striking and instructive petition. But what adds to the striking nature of this prayer is the underlying spiritual concern that is expressed by Agur here as well. Underlying this petition is a spiritual concern. The concern with respect to riches is underlaid by a spiritual concern. That's the first part of verse 9. Lest I be full, that is rich, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? We're taught to pray that God would not give us riches, not because riches inherently are less spiritual than poverty, as if the man who's rich is somehow less of a spiritual man and less of a Christian than the one who's poor, as if poverty itself is a more holy circumstance than riches. That's not the reason. Riches are not inherently sinful, but what's expressed here is the concern that in the circumstances of riches, I am faced with powerful spiritual temptations. Riches do not force me to fall into these sins, but riches certainly are the occasion in which I am faced with powerful temptation to sin. And the great temptation that we face in the circumstances of riches is that we're tempted to deny God and to say, who is the Lord? We read of that same danger elsewhere in the Word of God. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 8, when thou hast eaten and art full, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. A little bit later in Deuteronomy 8, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. And then in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 6, but they that will be rich, they that want to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition, for the love of money is the root of all evil. The great temptation that we face in riches is to deny that God is the one who provides and that we are wholly dependent upon Him. The temptation is that in pride we say, who is the Lord? I don't need Him. I'm not dependent upon Him to supply me with every meal and every breath. I have so much. I've accumulated all of this by my own strength, by my own smarts, my own business acumen. And my security is that I have so much. I'm secure for the future because I've got heaps of things to provide for me, and I have happiness and I have comfort, all because I have all of these earthly things. Who is the Lord? It's so easy for us when we have so much to forget about God and our dependence upon Him. Often, circumstances of riches is more spiritually dangerous for us than the circumstances of poverty. Now, poverty has its own spiritual struggles, as we'll see in just a moment, but it's often more spiritually difficult for us in circumstances of riches. The child of God who knows himself and his own weaknesses and sins cries out here out of that spiritual concern. Father, feed me with the bread of my necessity. Father, do not give me riches. I know myself. I know how weak and sinful I am. I know how easily I'm prone to deny thee and to say, who is the Lord? And to trust in myself and in earthly things. Do not give to me riches. There's also a spiritual concern that lies beneath the petition that God not give to us poverty. Now, we said earlier that it's not so striking that we pray, God, don't give to us poverty. But when we consider the underlying spiritual concern of anger here, that part of the petition becomes a striking petition as well. Agur does not pray that God not give him poverty because he does not want to deal with the struggle and the trial of the crushing burden of poverty. That's not what lies beneath this petition. The underlying spiritual concern is found at the end of verse 9. Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Agur's concern is that in the circumstances of poverty, he's going to be tempted to steal. Faced with want, faced with the reality of not having enough even for this one day, we may be tempted to take what does not belong to us, to steal from our employer, to steal from our neighbor, to steal from our family, to cut corners, to cheat, and to lie in order to get ahead and to get what we feel we need. The danger spiritually as well is that we're tempted in the circumstances of poverty to blaspheme the name of God, to take his name in vain. We're tempted to do that in bitterness for the trial of poverty. God is the creator of all. He's the provider. He's the one who has ordained all of the circumstances of earthly life. I don't have what I need for this day. God must have made some mistake. We're tempted to question his wise distribution of earthly things, to be bitter and angry toward him because he's brought us into the circumstances of poverty and in bitterness to take his name in vain. Conscientious child of God is loath to steal and to take the name of his God in vain, is terrified of being in circumstances where he may be tempted to do that. Out of that concern for God and for the glory of God, we pray, feed me with the bread of my necessity, Father. Do not give me riches, nor give me poverty. I'm terrified that in the circumstances of poverty, I'm going to be tempted to steal. I'm terrified that in the circumstances of poverty, I'm going to be tempted to be bitter and angry and take thy name in vain, O God. I know myself. I know how weak and sinful I am. Do not give me poverty. Feed me with food convenient. This prayer arises out of a knowledge of who we are in our own weaknesses and sins. Knowledge of the humble child of God who knows how great his sins and his sinful nature is. Sinful nature that pollutes and corrupts everything that he does. This prayer also expresses instruction for us, instruction with respect to the right attitude and perspective that we're to have toward earthly things. This prayer expresses that earthly things are not the most important thing in the life of the child of God. What's most important to us are spiritual things. Though those two things, the earthly and the spiritual, are distinct one from another, there is a relation between them as well. When we have very little, when we're in circumstances of poverty, we're presented with powerful spiritual temptations. Those circumstances may be a hindrance to us in our spiritual life because our focus, rather than being on spiritual things, is wholly on the things of this earth. I'm lacking. I need what I have to have for this day. And so my focus is on things and getting those things and distracts from the spiritual. The same with circumstances of riches. We have so much, and all of these things that we own, in a sense, come to own us because we're constantly having to care for and constantly having to maintain all of the wealth that has been entrusted to us, which takes our focus and attention off of spiritual things. When we have food of our necessity, when we have what we need for one day, we receive that from the Lord with thanks, and our focus is on the things above, spiritual, heavenly things. Earthly things are important in their own place. They're important insofar as they enable us to have our focus on the things above and not distract in any way from the spiritual and the heavenly. This is the perspective of the child of God with respect to this earth and the things of this earth. This ought to be the attitude that we have toward money and possessions and earthly things. We receive them from the Lord with thanks as He supplies to us our needs. Strengthened by those earthly things, we seek those things which are above. Father, feed me with the bread of my necessity, not poverty, not riches. This petition expresses the believer's trust in our God to supply to us our needs, all of our needs, spiritually and physically. The whole petition breathes a spirit of right trust and dependence upon God. In verse 8, we read, "Give me, Father, give me neither poverty nor riches." And then especially the next word, "feed, feed me with food convenient for me." That petition that our Father feed us is expressive of a little child, the small little infant that's dependent upon its mother for the supply of its daily need. A child's mouth is wide open. The child is dependent upon the mother to supply. "Feed me," is the cry of the child. Such is the reality for us. We are children of God. Little children with our mouths wide open. "Father, feed me." We have not in ourselves the strength and ability to maintain and to preserve earthly life. Father, we are wholly dependent upon Thee for our earthly needs. Father, feed us. This is the trust and the dependence of the child of God daily upon our Father in heaven to supply our needs. That trust is grounded in who God is and what He's done for us. That comes out in our text. First of all, in verse 9, at the beginning, when it says, "Who is the Lord?" But the name that's used for God there is Lord, Jehovah, His covenant name. And then at the end of verse 9, "And take the name of my God in vain." My God, we pray. God is our God, my God as a believer, because God has established His covenant with us. He's Jehovah, faithful, covenant-establishing, and covenant-keeping God. He's established His relationship of friendship with His own in Jesus Christ, and He's faithful to that always, faithful to His promised word, faithful to provide for us what we stand in need of. As our Father, He loves us with an everlasting love, and a love so great that He gave the unspeakable gift, His only begotten Son, to redeem us. Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God in Himself, is infinitely wealthy with the infinite wealth of the divine Godhead in glory. But He made Himself poor for our sakes. He came into this world of sin to dwell amongst sinners, taking upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh, suffering all of his life long, enduring poverty, so that the birds of the air have their nests and the foxes have their dens to lay in, but the Son of Man has not a place to rest. He gave his life for us. He sacrificed and gave that which is infinitely greater than gold or silver, but he shed his own precious blood to atone for our sins, to merit for us salvation and forgiveness and righteousness and everlasting life with God in glory, so that we who are poor sinners, hopelessly indebted before God on account of our sins, with no way of escape in ourselves, are blessed with riches unspeakable, the spiritual inheritance that Christ has merited for us, so that we who are poor are made rich in Christ. And if our faithful, covenant-keeping God in his love for us has given Christ to the death of the cross to sacrifice himself and shed his precious blood, will not our Father provide for us our other needs, our lesser needs, for the things of this earthly life? That's Romans 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We're confident in the provision of our Father because he's given the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he's not spared his own precious son, he'll certainly give to us the earthly things that we stand in need of. For the sake of Jesus Christ, we're confident that our Father hears and answers our prayers and supplies our needs. Our trust is in God and in his provision for our needs, not in the end that we would never be in circumstances of riches or never in circumstances of poverty. Though this is our petition, knowing the weakness of our flesh, this petition, like all of our petitions, is qualified by "Thy will be done." And that does come out in the text. Again, at the end of verse 8, when it speaks of food convenient for me, the bread of our necessity. And not just what I think is a necessity, but what God has determined is my necessity and what he's determined to give to me. We may pray, "Father, do not give poverty if it is thy will." And the will of our God might be circumstances of poverty. We may pray, "Father, do not give to me riches if it be thy will." And it may be his will to give us riches, to place us under the crushing burden of poverty, or to entrust to us in our stewardly care many earthly things. And as our Father has eternally determined it, that is what we need. That's what we truly need. That's what he's determined is for our good and for our salvation and for our sanctification in this life. And we receive that in humble submission before our God. And our prayer to him is that he'd give to us the grace to glorify him in those circumstances. "Father, if it is thy will, do not give me poverty. But if that is thy will, give me the grace so that I do not be tempted to steal and I don't take thy name in vain. Father, if it is thy will, do not give me circumstances of riches. I know my own weakness and sin. But if that is thy will, give me the grace to glorify thee in the circumstances of riches, so that I not be tempted to deny thee and to say, who is the Lord? For Christ's sake, we are absolutely confident our Father will provide for us our needs. He'll hear, he'll answer, and he'll give to us that which he has eternally determined is our need and is for our good and salvation. In that confidence we pray. In that confidence we bring all of our petitions to our Heavenly Father, petitions for our spiritual needs. We're wholly dependent on him to supply to us our spiritual needs. And in that confidence we bring the needs for earthly, material things, wholly dependent upon him to supply. For Christ's sake, feed me with the bread of my necessity. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, from the heart, we make this petition to thee. Give us neither poverty nor riches. Feed us with the bread of our necessity. Give us this day our daily bread. Father, keep us by thy grace and spirit from all of the spiritual dangers that assault us with respect to this life and the things of this life. Keep us from having our hearts set on the things here below, but lift our eyes up on high. Work in us by thy grace so that we seek those things which are above, where our life is hid with thee in Christ. Forgive graciously our many sins against thee. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen.